Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review episodes 1 through 4 of Cyberverse Season 3. Transformers Earth Wars has a new event, and IDW makes some exclusives available online. Today is Friday, April 17th, 2020, and this is episode 177 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's still providing essential entertainment to preserve your sanity. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
How's it going? Let's talk Transformers.
Why do you keep copying Jeremy's lines?
I don't know. I'm always trying to think of something funny to say, and I never can come up with it. So I just do a stupid, stupid standard greeting. I was going to say I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but
I was very close to saying hello, nurse, or some variation.
Let's start again. I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Hi, this is my brother Daryl. This is my other brother Daryl. All right. As always, we start off by thanking our Donatrions, those beautiful people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you so much for continuing to support the show. We really appreciate it, and it helps us keep going. Also, you can support us, if you are not a Donatrion and you would like to become one, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support, and that's where you can find links to sign up on Patreon or PayPal. You can also support us by buying some of our merchandise from our TeePublic store, and that is at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. You can also check out our friend of the show, K-Girl, and her store at teepublic.com/user/superstarK. We've got some awesome artwork, some cool designs for T-shirts, a very, representative of Transmissions. You can show your fondness for our little podcast. And people ask you, what's Transmissions? And then you can give them a link to the show and get us more listeners. Oh, yeah. on Zoom, when you're on Zoom, yeah. you can angle it down to your shirt.
Here's the real reason you should buy the shirts. It's one less thing you have to do in laundry. You're getting low on clothes. Buy some new shirts. They come in.
They clean themselves.
Just throw the old shirts away. There you go.
And last thing before we get into the news, check out the uncut version of Empire of Rust episode 21. So we had Empire of Rust episode 21 came out earlier this week. And next week, next Monday, on our Donatrion Patreon page and for our PayPal listeners, we will put up the uncut version of episode 21. So this is only available to our Donatrions. So you can look forward to that showing up very soon. All right, well, let's start off with some comics news. So we've got the IDW Collection Phase 2 Volume 12 available for Amazon pre-order. So they are continuing to put out the IDW Collection. We're getting much further along in the story. Looks like this one is collecting Transformers numbers 51 to 57, Transformers Till All Are One, issues 1 through 4, Titans Return number 1, and Transformers More Than Meets the Eye, issues 56 through 57. So this is basically the end of the More Than Meets the Eye / Transformers series. And then the next volume will start off with Optimus Prime and Lost Light. And the rest of Till All Are One, I should say. Because this is only Till All Are One 1 through 4. We've got 8 more issues of Till All Are One plus their annual. So
I have a question. I don't know if I've picked up any of these hardcovers. Do they usually have the variant covers list, like in the back, or just?
I believe so. Yes, I'm not sure about that because I haven't picked them up myself, but I think they do.
So this one would likely have our cover image I mean, likely just the clean art and mm-hmm. not with our logo and stuff, but be another good reason to pick it up.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me about that. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. So this one will be out January 5th, 2021. So we've still got this is a little ways away.
Start saving.
yeah. What is the price on this?
It's $59.99.
Okay. So yeah, not the cheapest.
But lots of good stories.
And the cover art is by Marcelo Mater, a new art of a Soundwave profile picture. So cool. Next up, we've got some IDW exclusive covers. So there were a lot of covers produced for Comic Cons this year. Those cons have all been canceled. So what happens to the comics that were specially produced? Well, IDW is selling a bunch of them directly from their website. So for WonderCon Anaheim 2020, that was supposed to happen last month. It did not happen. But the exclusive covers that IDW produced are all available on their website. In particular, there are three Transformers themed or adjacent covers. One is for My Little Pony Friendship is Magic that features Bumblebee. That's issue 88. Transformers number 18 that features My Little Pony on the cover. And then a variant cover of Transformers versus the Terminator number 1 with art by Livio Remondelli. So all three of these are available directly from IDW. Also, it's a 2-for-1, a buy two, get one free. So if you want all three of these comics, you can buy two and that's $20 plus shipping. Also, if you like any of the other comics that are being offered, buy some more. And if you buy more than $35 worth, you get free shipping in the U.S. That seems like, they're $10 a piece. So variant covers are usually around $10. So that's...
Unfortunately, the buy two, get one free is just for two. If you ordered four, you don't get two free. I tried.
Oh, okay. Oh, and I see it looks like that ended April 12th. So sorry. We're recording this on Easter Sunday. And so by the time you listen to this, that sale will be over. Sorry.
But you can still buy them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you buy $35 worth, it's free shipping. So if you buy four, if there are four comics you want, you'll get free shipping. So that's a pretty good deal.
Unless you're Daryl.
Yeah. So we went through this. I posted a pic in the Donatrion's chat of shipping costs to me. Cheapest was standard USPS. It was $32.73.
That's UPS, not USPS.
UPS, sorry. But it was the cheapest, actually. So UPS is actually cheaper than first class mail to me, which is just absurd. It's ridiculous, the shipping. This was for three books at the time that I was doing this. I was getting the third book for free because of the deal. $30, $32 in shipping is absolutely absurd. So, I mean, thankfully, Jeremy was also doing an order at the same time and said, hey, you want me to buy some books for you? And I said, yes, please. So I picked up some books. So I don't know when I'm going to get them, but they're bought. So that's fantastic. Yeah. And I think it only cost him $4 shipping. So
so Daryl, shipping it to you is going to be $31.73.
Perfect. It's a deal. but yeah, some of these, the priority ones and the expedited shipping and all that stuff, you expect to pay big dollars for that. And it's not expected that a personal, individual is going to pay that. Those are usually for companies and stuff to get, business stuff done. But, this is way too much for shipping. And I don't know whether IDW can even control it. I don't think they can. It's something to do with the Postal Service and the just the cost of, sending something across the border.
Right.
It's.
But, if you send a letter, like I just sent a standard first class letter to you.
Right.
with some stickers and stuff. The International First Class stamp, which I put two on this because you got a bunch of stuff in there, but it's like $1.25 per stamp. It's like a comic doesn't weigh much more than that envelope. It's just a little bigger. And right. I can ship a comic. Like if someone bought one of our comics, which is still for sale, let us know. it costs what, like
$4 or $5
to ship. And that's including the packing materials.
Mm-hmm.
But that's domestically. If we ship it internationally, it skyrockets. It's just insane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you want to know why we don't send out more stuff on Patreon, it's basically because we have a lot of international supporters and it gets prohibitively expensive sometimes to ship out little things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, if you are a international person, international to the States anyway, this was something that you were looking to do, I would highly suggest you find some other people to do it with and simply just buy it in bulk. It just seems the easiest way to do it. I don't know. I didn't experiment to see how many books I could jam into that $32, you know, shipping rate, but I'm sure you can get more than three. So, yeah. Test it out. See if you can, buy from a store or something like that. But that would be, something that I would do if I didn't have Jeremy.
We should all have a Jeremy.
If only we all had a Jeremy.
I wish I had a Jeremy.
All right. Well, that's all the comics news. So let's move on to our review. And comics are on hiatus for the foreseeable future, so we are moving to Cyberverse. No such luck. We have a special treat.
Uh-oh.
The master reviewer, Mr. Daryl Lawhey, reviewing Transformers Cyberverse. Take it away, Daryl.
We've been talking about Season 3 of Cyberverse and how great Season 2 was, and that Season 3 has been coming out. It got released because it was released in the US, and then it got pirated and, you know, uploaded to Daily Motion.
In the UK, you mean?
Oh, yeah, in the UK. That's right. And then the US is slowly sparsing it out. So we're going to review Season 3 of Cyberverse as the US releases to YouTube go. So quite slowly. They're up to Episode 4. This week coming, as you're listening to this, probably episode 5 is out, but as we're doing it right now, only episode 4, so then we're only going to do that. So hopefully you're up to date. If not, all 4 episodes are available in our show notes, so you can go and watch them. They're all linked there if you are in the US. If you're not, you know what to do. So the entire first 4 episodes are under one subtitle. It's called Battle for Cybertron. And it's a 4-part series or a 4-part episode. So we open up on episode 1 and it's the Autobots and Prime's making one of his Optimus Prime speeches to the entire crew. And they are on approach to Cybertron. If you remember at the end of season 2, the Decepticons tricked the Autobots into not using a space bridge because they made it look like it was broken. Shockwave used a hologram and made it look like it had turned off or blew up or something like that. So the Autobots just skipped it and started, you know, using the spaceship of the Ark to fly directly to Cybertron. It takes a lot longer. The Decepticons turned off the hologram, went through the space bridge that was definitely not broken, and got there way ahead of the Autobots. So the Autobots are now on approach. They are almost there. The Ark receives a message from Chromia warning her that the Decepticons are there, some shit's going down, and they need to watch themselves. Chromia and Perceptor have been captured. You see that Perceptor is capable of freeing Chromia, but he has to use his eye. He can send parts of his eye out, and they refract some of the beams, and they are able to free Chromia. But he's only able to do this once, and once it's done, he's blind. He can't see anymore, but he has other means of perception, he calls it. And I actually liked how they did that. It was quite clever. So they start running around a bit, trying to escape and get out of there. but they don't make it too far, and Chromia and Perceptor get captured again. The episode one ends with Megatron sending a, I guess it was a some kind of net, some kind of, you know, they named it, checked it in the second episode, and I didn't actually write it down, but they send a net out to the Ark. It grabs it, and then it proceeds to crush it until it explodes. And that's how episode one ends. And Megatron is starting to get all giddy. A giddy Megatron. That's what you get at the end of episode one. Episode two starts. The Autobots are not dead. Big surprise. But they have now arrived on Cybertron, and they are pissed. So they are ready to fight the Decepticons, and that's what they do. This episode, episode two, is just basically a fight, and it's awesome. Autobots and Decepticons just battling, and you get to see a whole bunch of different characters and a whole bunch of cannon fodder. So guys that are just, you know, no names and just out there to fill the screen. Bumblebee, Hot Rod, Cheetor are tasked with keeping the Allspark safe. So they're not allowed to join the fight because they have the Allspark. Cheetor has it specifically, and they need to stay away. Bumblebee has a real problem with this because he sees everybody down there in the fight. Some of his friends are getting hurt. He really wants to join the battle. Hot Rod has to physically restrain him from going down to the fight. Optimus Prime and Megatron start battling each other. What's her name? The one, I can't remember her name.
Shadow Striker.
Yes. Thank you. She takes a shot at Optimus Prime, through her, looks like a sniper rifle. And Prowl jumps in front of it getting shot, and he goes down. This pisses Optimus Prime off even more, and he starts just wailing on Megatron. Shockwave is seeing what's going on. He's standing far back behind everybody on the fight, at the fight, and he takes shots at that were meant. What did I write here? Shockwave turns around and walks back into this. I guess it's called the. They had a name for it specifically. What did they call it?
The Well of All.
They called it something else. That's what they were going to. But what'd they call this thing? Got my notes here. I'm just looking at here. I am so good at this. Why didn't I write this? I wrote it down. I knew I did. Never mind. It doesn't matter. It's the Shockwave turns around and he starts walking back into like the base where they were all huddled before the Autobots attacked. And as he walks in there, you see him kind of, the camera pans over top of him and you hear all these voices, all these like screeches and scratches and stuff. And that's where the episode two ends. And that's, you're like, what the hell has he got back there? And they kind of, Megatron, you hear his voice kind of saying, you know, it's not only the Decepticons or something like that, that you're going to have to deal with. Episode three starts and it's still showing Optimus Prime and Megatron fighting each other. Optimus Prime cannot access the Well of the Allsparks as Megatron has filled it with scraplets. As he walks in there and he sees all the scraplets kind of surrounding him, he has this weird PTSD flashback to when he got attacked by the scraplets before and disabled. And it's kind of an interesting little take as you don't really see Optimus Prime getting kind of scared, before. And you get caught up with Team Hot Rod, as it's called. That's Hot Rod, Bumblebee, and Cheetor. They get the signal to go, and they're told they've got a way to get to the Well of the Allsparks, and they know how to get down there. They've been shown that there's a path that doesn't involve them going through all these Decepticons, so they go. But as they go, they are seen by Drift, and Drift follows them. Megatron is still in the battle. He reveals he's got giant drone tanks that look an awful lot like Shockwave. Or he would in his alt mode. Drift catches up to Hot Rod and the gang and reveals that he is still a Decepticon. He's been a traitor or playing both sides the entire time. And he and Hot Rod start to fight. And then we see Windblade, who we haven't seen much of yet. She's bounced around here and there of the episodes, but she finds her way to Vector Sigma. And Vector Sigma is the master computer, the supercomputer that you know, is the big brain of the whole planet. And she's trying to find a way to disable Vector Sigma, because that's what the Decepticons want. They want to get to Vector Sigma. But what she, before she can actually make any kind of move, she is attacked by Bludgeon. And her and Bludgeon have a real history, because Bludgeon was the one who killed, what's her name, from second season?
Slipstream.
Slipstream, yes. So she's holding a big grudge against Bludgeon, and now she gets her chance to kind of take him out. And that's where episode 3 ends. Episode 4 begins, and Bumblebee has been captured by a bunch of Repugni. It's Repugnuses, but there's more of them. There's a lot of them. A bunch of Repugnuses. And we don't know what's happening with that. We join Windblade, and she is fighting with Bludgeon. Wheeljack joins in there, and with her and Wheeljack, they are able to send Bludgeon and Vector Sigma into Unspace. That was something that was done in a previous season. Wheeljack figured out Unspace. That was the Star Trek episode, I believe. That was kind of like the ship in a bottle one. And they figured out Unspace. Yep. So, yeah. So they send Bludgeon and Vector Sigma into Unspace. Bumblebee, Cheetor come across Shockwave, and they fight him. Cheetor, once they disable Shockwave, Cheetor returns the All Spark to the well, and the whole planet starts to light up with, you know, good thoughts. Shockwave stands up, and he's been given his final order. He says, Megatron sends him an order saying, you need to take out the Allspark because, you know, this is not going our way. And if we can't have Cybertron, then nobody can. Shockwave straps this weird gun thing to his chest. It actually pulls his spark, his life essence out of his body, firing it back into the Allspark, which allows Shockwave's spark to kind of corrupt the Allspark. And all hell is starting to break loose on the planet. It's nuts. Cheetor finds that the only way to kind of combat this is for him to do the same. So he straps this weird thing to his chest. And because Shockwave's now dead, Cheetor straps this thing to his chest. Bumblebee is pleading with him to not do it. There's got to be another way. Straps this thing to his chest, fires his spark into the Allspark, and the planet returns to normal. Cheetor was the key to saving Cybertron, and Cybertron returns to normal, and the Decepticons can't figure out how they lost that. And that's how episode 4 ends. So that was Battle for Cybertron. I left out a lot of stuff because I still think everyone should watch it. I am really, really high on these Cyberverse episodes. I think they are way, way better than they have any right that they should be, and that's really, really a good, you know, a testament to how well they're produced. Their story is really quite good, and the amount of action and story that they're able to pack into these 10-minute episodes is mind-boggling. So it's definitely worth your while to watch these episodes if you haven't. There is 26 episodes in the third season, and this is the first 4. I think out of the 26, you know, these first 4 are good. They get better, and I'm a big sucker for action, and there's a ton of action in these ones. But the story beats and a lot of the stuff covered in the remaining 22 episodes are just awesome. And if you're a fan of the IDW comics, if you're a fan of, you know, stuff that they've done over the course of, you know, the different series, you got to get into this stuff because it's just unbelievable. They did a really great job on this series. I'm going to open it up to the other guys. Charles, you want to jump in here? Tell me what you thought of Battle for Cybertron.
Yeah, this was great. This felt really like the season finale of season 2, so it's weird that they put them as the first 4 episodes of season 3. I think they would have gone great as the end of season 2.
Yeah.
Basically wrapping up the whole story arc of season 2. But yeah, I mean, and we were talking about how they've labeled this season like Bumblebee Cyberverse Adventures, but Bumblebee is not the star of this story. He's not the star. He's got a role. He's got a prominent role, but he's not the main character not in this one, not in the next few story, next few episodes we get into. And so it's interesting that they, I think, you know, Hasbro marketing for the toys and everything, they want to focus on Bumblebee, but I think they let the showrunners just do what they want, and they really made it a great ensemble Transformers story, not a Bumblebee story. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate that. And this, yeah, this four episode arc was great. I mean, these episodes are each about 10 minutes long, so they're not terribly long, but they pack a lot into each episode.
Oh yeah.
And and they still, even with like calling back all the callbacks to lore and comics and other G1 episodes, other TV shows, other series, they still managed to do some surprising things, like making Drift actually a double agent in the reverse was, you know, something that you don't expect, because of course in the comics Drift is always good. Drift and Hot Rod are really kind of like even close friends, yeah, in the comics, and here they kind of turn that on its head, which I thought was cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this and even at the end with like they have that final when Optimus Prime and Megatron are battling, Megatron jumps up in the air like in Transformers the movie, and then Optimus uppercuts him.
Yeah,
like they took that one little action scene from the movie and redid that. I mean, the animation is really, I mean, we've praised the story, but the animation is also amazing. I mean, the fact that they get so many different characters, not just filling it out with the generic bots and cons, but like so many unique characters. We had Alpha Strike, who is a Striker from Beast Machines. Bludgeon, of course, was there. Shadow Striker is another one. Prowl, Drift, Ratchet, Cup, and Whirl showed up here, which just popping up and you know, of course Whirl is not like his, he's a bit more happy than his comic incarnation, a bit more well adjusted, but it's still cool to see Whirl here. Yeah, I have no complaints with these episodes here. Mm-hmm. Just awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, through the previous seasons, season one specifically, we had deaths in the series. Blur mm-hmm. specifically died in season one. And so you don't expect to see him anymore, which we don't. So don't get your hopes up.
Yeah.
But in this episode specifically, this four episode arc specifically, we've got Drift is dead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hot Rod is dead. Prowl is dead. And Shockwave is dead. Cheetor is dead. And stuff happens with at least one of those characters in future episodes. But that's five characters off the top of my head that are dead in the first four episodes. That does not happen in modern cartoons. You know?
A lot of generics are quote unquote dead. A lot of red shirts die in this episode.
Of course, which you fully expect, right? So, so Jeremy, let me know what your thoughts are on this, because you still watch an awful lot of cartoons with your son. So have you watched this with Alex? Is he,
no.
What are your thoughts on the show, and where would you rank this as, a Transformers show?
Well, I mean, I really enjoyed it. I would not let my son watch it, because I know his sensitivity to what he watches, and this is way past what he's comfortable watching right now. We have been watching the G1 episodes together, and he was asking about like what we were talking about tonight on the show, and I told him a cartoon. He's like, "Can we watch it?" I'm like, "No, we'll watch some more G1 shows." I think this is really good though. And for a kid a little bit older than him, I think this is a great kind of G1 entry for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, with the lore, like they're pulling in from so many different places, but particularly the comics, and then things like the deaths actually meaning something, just the characterization, the battles. I mean, I did kind of have an issue when there was like kind of a, all the Autobot cars transformed and all the Decepticon cars transformed, and they were, going after each other. And it's just, you saw maybe like, you saw the named characters and then just like a whole bunch of generics. And I'm like, that, you know, okay. But then, you know, you get to see where the budget's going. They did a lot of really cool stuff. I'm not sure exactly what number I would give it, but I would rate this series, and I haven't seen anything in season three past episode four, but I would rate the series towards the top of my list.
Cool.
It is a very good series.
Mm-hmm.
And if people haven't checked it out, you're missing it. You should make it one of your daily motions to go and watch the series.
And talk about the dedication to the cause. I mean, Shockwave, he's usually portrayed as, you know, as in the cartoon, he's very loyal to Megatron, but not to the point where he's willing to sacrifice his life to destroy everything. That's dedication.
He usually has his own thing going on. Even in the comics right now, you're seeing that, like, he's loyal to Megatron, but he's really loyal to himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As long as it serves his purpose.
He's like, he's like loyal to logic, and this is the logic thing to do.
I did like what I don't know if it was maybe the beginning of the second episode where Megatron's like, finally, Shockwave, you did something good. And Shockwave's like, my success rate is 98%.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there are a bunch of jokes that definitely land, and some of them will be missed by the younger viewers that are watching this.
But that's the mark of a good series. Have something for multiple generations watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, my son right now, he's really into Animaniacs, which I am so proud of myself for getting him into that. But, you know, just so now that we're rewatching it, and there's like so many things, he's like cracking up, and we're like, you get none of the references here, like absolutely none of them. But he's you know, just on the floor laughing. And I'm like, that's just the mark of a good show, is you have something for the kids watching the show and the adults that are having to sit there and watch it too.
So future episodes, I mean, obviously they were released a long time ago, actually, now. But if anyone out there is looking to watch ahead, that's fine. Go ahead and do it. There are some really great sci-fi references that get brought up in future episodes. And a couple of them are, you know, really obvious, so you'll get them right away. A couple of them are a little bit more subtle. But go ahead and watch ahead if you feel like it. We're going to tackle these things in chunks like we've been doing. But yeah, I'm really curious to hear everyone's thoughts on the Cyberverse season 3, and you never know, we might be able to get somebody from the show to join us, just if they've got time. I know everyone's super busy right now, and
yeah, but no one can tell you what the Matrix is. You have to experience it for yourself. That's a tease,
right?
All right. Well, yeah. Cyberverse. Thumbs up from Transmissions. Cyberverse is Transmissions approved. And I do like this, the trend of Hasbro putting all the shows on YouTube. I mean, I know they're doing it really slowly for this season, which is unfortunate, but yeah, in 26 weeks, you'll have all the episodes for anyone in the US can watch them. But yeah, you can get them. There's lots of places to get them. But I mean, I do think if you do get a chance, watch them on the official channels, because the clicks and the hits will validate that the popularity. So Hasbro can see that, you know, even though people like this show,
It's already been canceled.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunate, but maybe that means they'll go back to Boulder Media for future projects.
Yeah, that's the hope, is that they'll kind of do a continuation. It won't be Cyberverse, but it'll be like, I don't know, Cyber Galaxy, you know, I don't know, something like that. And it'll just be a continuation of the series from Golder Media. So they'll be able to use the same kind of people and story beats and just kind of continue the story under another name.
Maybe it's something where there's interest and IDW picks it up as a comic.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's our review of Cyberverse Season 3, Episodes 1 through 4, The Battle for Cybertron. Available on YouTube, Cartoon Network, and if you make some motions daily, you can probably find it other places. All right, let's move on to Transformers Media News.
All right, I am taking over Media News this week to give Daryl a break, and because there's no conventions ever. So starting off, continuing on with Cyberverse stuff, we have a bunch of concept art. The first thing here is from Nicholas Frankfort, and he has some designs of like Optimus, looks like a Sharkticon, just, you know, a bunch of cool designs. A lot of them looks like it's like later on in the series. And like I said, I've only seen up to episode 4, but it's really cool getting this kind of behind the scenes look. The Optimus in his vehicle mode really looks like one of the Play School Transformer toys that my son has. So that's pretty interesting. Moving on, we have Leo Chiola. He's been posting on Twitter some of his designs. Here we have Repugnus, or I guess he's calling him the Dweller. That's really cool. And there's a couple other designs here. Let's see, what else do we have? Francisco Giglio has some art, including Chromia's vehicle mode, which really looks kind of Tron-inspired to me. I really like it. And then Whirl, I think, and some other characters here. Who's the kind of cowboy-looking character?
Oh, I don't remember.
Wheelwell, I think.
Okay, well. He's in there.
He shows up much later in a future episode.
And let's see. We have a Nicholas Mastello has some art as well. He has some art of Cybertron itself. You can see both kind of the kind of destroyed by war and then the Golden Age versions. And then a Quintesson ship.
Quintesson.
Shut up with your heresy. And then we also have some art from seasons 1 and 2. This is from Francisco Giglio, Nicholas Mastello, and Sophia Sycamore. They have art here from like some of the characters, some space, or Sharkticon, some backgrounds, just a mix of a bunch of stuff. The background kind of art looks really cool, part of a battle scene. So I love that we're getting all this stuff. So check it out. Give us your opinions on Cyberverse and what you're thinking of it, because you know we'd love to have feedback on it, and we are dying for content right now. Moving on, I think, Charles, you wanted to talk about this. We have some officially licensed copper prints.
Yeah, so Hasbro China has announced officially licensed copper prints. And these are by metal handcrafts manufacturer Tong Shifu. I know Shifu is Chinese for master. I don't know what Tong is. Tong metal? I don't know. Metal master? I don't know. But yeah, these copper prints, there's 4 of them. There's a G1 Optimus Prime. There's a Bumblebee movie Bumblebee, an Autobot Insignia, and a Last Night Optimus Prime. So these are cool. Yeah. I particularly like the Optimus Prime one is kind of a, you know, a line art. The G1 Optimus Prime one is nice. The Autobot symbol is nice. The Bumblebee movie one is nice. The only one I'm not really a fan of is the Last Night Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Just because I don't like that design. But
the Optimus one looks kind of like it's kind of taken from that background art that they've used like for like before they did the War for Cybertron, the last kind of trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have I don't know if this is like raised. It looks like it might be a little bit, but you know, I have a metal print from like some of the IDW artists. I know I have a Lake Olivia Remedelli one. It's really cool seeing the art on metal, but I'm not sure about copper. It might give it a nice yellowy color to it, but
you can just sell it afterwards.
Yeah, just melt it down. All right, moving on. We have some video game news. If you're enjoying playing the multiplayer versions of Revenge of the Fallen and Fall of Cybertron, can't anymore. They've turned off the servers for PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and PC versions of the game, which is all the versions there were. They were released on PS4 and Xbox One. Wait, is this...
Came out this week.
Wait, I'm sorry. Well, this is saying that they've announced that the multiplayer has been discontinued, but PS3, Xbox 360, and PC versions are up for now. So, I don't know. It's going to be going away. The other, like the War for Cybertron, I think a few weeks ago, to, you know, a few months ago, went away. It was on PS4 and Xbox One as of 2016. I don't know. Usually with these games, the multiplayer goes away at some point. And sadly, it is time for these games. Earth Wars has added, it has another event, adding some more bots, and you can get a bunch of experience stuff if you're still playing this game. I don't think any of us are. And then there's a Chinese game called Mini World that has sold 360,000 licensed Transformer skins within 3 months and has generated several millions of dollars. That is insane. I'm not even sure what exactly kind of game this is. This says it's a sandbox game. I'm wondering if it's just kind of a game where you're able to just, I don't know, manipulate a world kind of like a Minecraft. I mean, Charles, you're familiar with Germany. I'm sure that is something like China. Do you know anything about this?
Yes, they are two countries that are not the United States.
So. Exactly. See? That's exactly where I was going.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with this at all. Just by looking at the screenshot, it looks like the characters are like Creo models, kind of. But yeah, I mean, this is China, so no idea what this game is about. And yeah, I generally avoid mobile games with microtransactions, so I don't know what I mean. I guess that's good. I still think these games are kind of bad for it, gaming in general, regardless of what they are. But yeah, I mean, buying skins in a game just seems like throwing away your money. But
Well, obviously, 360,000 licensed skins. That's wow.
Yep.
So anyway, that moving on, we have Soundtrack Saturdays. This Saturday we had Sinister from G1 series, and this is again from the album that came out a year or two ago from Enjoy the Ride Records, which I believe you can still pick up the record. This one, they have it's some of the kind of Decepticon sounds. It looks like the pictures or the video they have here going at the season 3 stuff. These are always fun. Eventually, you're going to have the entire soundtrack. And that, I believe, is it for media news.
All right. And that will do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, again, with no convention news and no feedback. So we will wrap things up here. And thanks again for tuning in for another week of Transformers talking stuff.
It's called Transmissions.
But we talk about Transformers. We don't talk about Transmissions. I don't know where I was going with this. Anyway, thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
I don't know how you're going to handle the officially licensed Transformers Copper Prince by Chong Shifu.
Jeremy's a professional. He'll be able to do it.
Yeah, you have nothing. You have nothing this week. You can take it.
My intro is lame.
Oh, I didn't even read it.
If you have something better. It's very lame.
Gosh.
I don't know how to finish that, but...
I thought you had it. I thought it was working well. But you just maybe can't spell it?
No, I could... It just... Halfway through, I was just like, I don't know.
If you can't spell it, it's fine. Just, you know, just ask for help.
No.
I don't know how essential the history of the United States is to the rest of the world, but it's call them fun facts.
Much teamwork right there.